Anointing on him. Appreciate Jeff and Rebecca, and I know you've probably been praying for him already, but just open up your Bible, open up your heart, and listen as the Lord teaches us. Brother Jeff Ward.
Bless you, sir. I get done. But if you got your Bibles, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 15. Going to be looking at two verses today. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 19 will be our text. I really appreciate the guys that are the guys and gals that are up here that are putting their heart and soul into this music. You guys don't understand or probably don't realize this, but when you come and you try to bring God's word and do the very best of your ability, and you got somebody up here that's kind of gets the mood going, kind of sets the tone, it makes it so, so much easier for a guy to get up here and preach. I've had the opportunity to preach at a lot of places all around the country, and most song services ain't like this, and sometimes, I ain't gonna lie, it can be difficult. It can be very difficult. So I very much appreciate the people that's up here doing that, because I know from Sunday to Sunday, there's no doubt that it helps Melvin quite a bit. I know that it helps me. It basically kind of gets you amped up, get you in the mood, and where you're ready to go. But I did request that last song because that's one of my favorite songs. I Will Rise. And probably the reason why I like that song, when it says one day, it says, "My faith shall be my eyes. One day my faith shall be my eyes. One day I won't have to live by faith no more. One day I'll be able to look upon Jesus and I'll be able to see all the things that I had been working for and all the things that I had been doing my whole entire life. I'll be able to look at Jesus face to face, and I won't need that faith no more." I know today we still need that faith, because today we can't see Jesus face to face. I can't see him physically. I can feel him in my heart and I can feel him in my soul. But one day my faith shall be my eyes. And every time I hear that song, if I'm driving somewhere, it always, I ain't gonna lie, it tears me up a little bit, because it really makes me think about one day when I leave this place, one day when I take my last breath, you know, my faith will be complete. Everything that I had done here on this earth will come to an end, and I'll be able to see Jesus face to face, and I'll be able to look at him and finally realize all the great things that he had done for me while I was here on this earth. And I don't want to die today. There ain't nobody says, "Jeff, I want to die today." I don't plan on dying today. I don't want to die today. But you know what? I'm not scared of it. I'm not scared. I'm not one, you know, I know people would cry and, you know, they would be sad. Maybe people would be happy. I don't know. Maybe, but hopefully a few people would cry. But you know what? I hope they wouldn't cry for me. I hope they'd be happy for me. Maybe they might be sad for my family and sad for my children and stuff like that. But I hope they would be happy for me, because knowing that, hey, where I'm going, where I'm at right at that physical time, that won't be me. I'll be up there. I'll be up there with Jesus. And that's the day that I truly look forward to. So if you got your Bibles, once again, Luke chapter 15, just two verses, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Melvin asked me here a few weeks ago if I would preach this. He said, "This is really the one I wanted to preach." I said, "Melvin, you're the pastor. You can do whatever you want to." You know, he didn't, I just told him, I said, "I'll take whatever week that you give me." And he ended up giving me this week. And he said, "Well, I really wanted to preach this." Like, "You're the preacher. You could have done whatever you wanted to. I'm just the filling guy. I'd have done any week." But he allowed me to do this one. So Luke chapter 15, we're just going to read a couple verses once again. You guys are very familiar with this story, and I believe we'll probably wrap it up here in 2 or 3 weeks. The parable of the lost son, and this is where the father or where the son realizes where he's at. He realizes the situation that he is in, and that he needs to turn around this situation. And I hope today, you know, as we look at this passage of scripture this morning, that you guys will realize where you're at. Everybody here is in a different place in their life. Some's young, some's old. Some maybe saved, some not saved. I know, I don't know. It's not for me to worry about. It's not for me to judge. It is for me to worry about. But it's not for me to judge where you're at in your life. But we see here in this passage of Scripture that he realizes where he's at. He finally awakes. So if you would, starting there in verse 17, just reading a couple verses. It said, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of the father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" Let's pray. Father, we once again thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, God. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. God, I just pray that you would be with each and every one that's here this morning. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to understand, Lord, the word that's fixing to be preached, God. Lord, I want people to realize it's not me that's doing, God, but it's you. Lord, I pray that you would just work through me, God, that you would make it easy for me to say the words that, Lord, that your people need to hear today, God. Lord, I'm simply a messenger, God. Lord, I am no better than or no worse than anybody here this morning, God. Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Lord, I'm a sinner that needed a Savior, Lord, one day. And God, Lord, you reached down and, Lord, you touched me, Lord, that day, God. Lord, I just thank you for all that you do. Lord, I thank you for this message, God. I pray once again that you would just have your way in this service. Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct in our life, God. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. Lord, the things that you do that we don't even see sometimes, how you take care of us, God. Lord, I just pray for all the ones that couldn't be here this morning, God. Lord, I just ask, Lord, a blessing upon their life. But Lord, most of all, Lord, bless the ones, Lord, that made the effort to come out today, God, to hear your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do. These things we ask in your name. Amen and amen. It says a sudden awakening. When I thought about this, I begin to read over these passages of Scripture, and I begin to wonder, what am I going to come up with? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm not very good at if you will call this a theme sermon or something like this. Sometimes I struggle a little bit with something's laid out before me, but I'm going to do the very best that I can here today. It says, you see, aha moments start the same way. It says, leaving the Father's house and ending up in a faraway place. You know, guys, each and every one of us here, like I said, are in a different position here in our lives today. Like I said, some young or some old, some may be feeling well, some may be feeling great, but you're all a different here, maybe in a physical condition, but you're also each and every one here today, you are in a different spiritual state in your life than other people around you. And that's, like I said, that's not for me to judge or for me to understand. We know that's between you and God Himself. But I want you to realize, as we talk about a distant land today, that at some point in your life, you have been in a distant land. You would say, well, Jeff, you know what? I grew up in church all my life and I did all the things right. But let me tell you what, you was in a distant land at some point in your life because you were separated from the Father. You were born like that. You were born in a distant country. You were born separated from God Himself. And we see and we understand that how we come back to the Father is through the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I said, you were born apart from the Father. I know on Wednesday night and basically September 26, 1990, I realized I was in distant land. That's the day that God called me. God called me home. God called me to come in and be a part of His family. I'll never forget that night. I was 11 years old. At that time, my grandpa had lived with us. My grandma had passed away, and my grandpa lived with me, and my grandpa was a cool guy. And guess what? At 11 years old, this guy got to drive everywhere. I got to drive on the highway. I went everywhere with my grandpa, and the only reason that I did, because guess what? Grandpa let me drive. And at 11 years old, hey, 12, 13, I was driving to Lebanon. If my mom and dad knew that, they would probably kill me to this day. Because guess what? If I'd have had a wreck, it wouldn't have been a good situation. But you know, back then, I didn't think about that. I was 12, 13 years old. I was getting to drive everywhere. But I remember that night, probably the only reason I wanted to go to church is why? Because I wanted to drive my grandpa's S10 pickup, and he let me go everywhere. And I'll never forget that night. My uncle was preaching a revival at a church they called the Mule Barn. Everybody probably knows that's been around here has heard of that church over off of TT Highway. But you know what? That night when I went into that church, I was not expecting to find Jesus Christ that night. I was not expecting to find Him. I went there to hang out with my friends, and I went there most of all because I knew Grandpa would let me drive his truck. But as I remember, as my uncle was preaching the Word of God, if something began to stir at me, something began to realize that I was in need of a Savior. And guys, literally, I was 11 years old, and I had been in church all my life, and I had been Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So probably, in reality, that was probably, I was getting pretty old probably, for being in church all my life. I mean, you guys realize that? 11 years old when being in church, you know, most kids already come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For some reason I have, but I remember as my uncle began to preach God's word, God began to tell me something. And that night, I got saved. That night, I left that distant country that I was in, and I came to the Father's house. And guys, that's something, you know, each and every person can say that. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, you can say, yes, I have lived in that distant land. I have lived in that distant country. But yet today, I dwell in the the Father's house. Like I said, that's the night that I finally came to my senses. That's the night that I realized that I was in need of a Savior. I was in need of a God that the only person that could help me. It wasn't my dad that I had sat under time after time and listened. He couldn't help me. It wasn't my uncle that helped me. It wasn't my grandpa that I got to drive there. It was Jesus Christ that helped me that very night. It says I came to my senses. And when I came to my senses, like I said, one day when I take my final breath, my Lord and Savior will say, "Hey, well, you know what, Jeff? Well done, my good and faithful servant." What will he tell me? He will tell me enter into what? An eternity of rest. Why? Because of the things that I done with the help of God. Because I realize, guys, we cannot do nothing on our own. You cannot do nothing on our own. I cannot do nothing on my own. It's only with the help of God. And today, I hope each and every one can say, "Jeff, you know what? I have come to my senses in my life, and I understand that where I am at." It said, but in order for an aha moment to happen, it said there's got to be a waking, there's got to be an alarm go off. If you would, you don't have to. I'm just going to turn over to Acts chapter 9, and I want to read you a little bit of story. If you guys realize, there's aha moments that happen all over the Bible. They are everywhere. Last Sunday, I preached on Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, Mary, you know, Martha was in the kitchen working, just slaving away, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But later on, we know that Martha confessed that he was the Son of God. She finally confessed that. We know that Peter had an aha moment as well throughout the Bible when Jesus said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the risen Savior," and that's Jeff's words. But I want to read you one guy in particular that had a major aha moment in his life, and that's and none other than Saul or Paul himself. Acts chapter 9, starting there at verse 1, it said, when Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he said he went out to a high priest and asked letters for him in the synagogue in Damascus so that he found that they were there by the way. And if you look, the capital W-A-Y, meaning Jesus himself there, or God himself. It said, whether man or women, that he might bring them and bound them in Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around from heaven. It said, he fell on the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It said, and he said, "Lord," and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard to kick against the goats." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Rise and go into the city, and you will be told, or you will be told what you must do." And the men journeyed from the stood speechless. It said they heard a voice, but they didn't see no one. Paul seen. The people that was with him couldn't see what was going on. They just heard a voice, but Paul seen. It said, then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him to the hand and brought him to Damascus, and there he 3 days without sight, neither he ate or he drank. Paul had an aha moment at that time. He met Lord right there on the road to Damascus. And let me tell you what, guys, Paul was a religious man by the standards of the day. He persecuted the church harder than anybody, but he was a religious man that was headed straight for a devil's hell. He was headed there. That's where he was going. Even though Saul thought he was doing what he needed to do. And because, you know, we know Paul or Saul grew up under the greatest teachers back at that time, under the greatest scholars. He was a member of everything that you could think of back in that time. He persecuted the church more than anybody did. He thought he was doing what he needed to do until he ran into Jesus there on the road to Damascus. And when he ran into Jesus on that road to Damascus, what happened? All of a sudden, his life got changed. It got changed. And we can see what God said on down there just a few verses later. It says, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Saul, the greatest persecutor of the church, the person that had done more to fight against Jesus Christ himself and God himself, all of a sudden had that moment where his life, where the light bulb went on or was off, and all of a sudden it went on. And we know what Paul ended up doing in his life. One of the greatest apostles ever. The things that he done for God was tremendous. More than you and I will ever think about doing. The things that he done. So the question is, when the alarm went off in Saul's life, or Paul's life here at this time, what alarms are sounding in your life now? You might say, well, Jeff, there ain't no alarms going off in my life. There may not be. Everything may be good. I don't know. But if there's one going off in your life today, are you ignoring it? Are you ignoring that alarm that's going off in your life? Let me tell you what, there's two alarms that go off in my house on school mornings. Let's put it like that. We had to end school this week. But there's two alarms that go off in my house on school mornings. At 5:50, there's one that sits on my wife's side of the bed. At 5:50, that thing goes off every morning. Some mornings I hear it, some mornings I don't. You just never know. But guess what? There's one that goes off about, it depends, 6:20, anywhere between 6:20 and 6:40 every day. But guess what? I hear that alarm. Why? Because that alarm is the alarm for telling me that I need to get up and that I need to get ready and I need to go to work. And by the way, I'm always ahead of Tracy. I am always there first. Always. So she already knows that. We give her a hard time for being late all the time. But you know what, guys? That alarm that goes off. My wife's, I don't always hear it because it don't pretty much pertain to me. That's her alarm. That's the one that tells her to get up and that she needs to get to work on time. But that one, that other one that goes off, that's for me. And that's saying, Jeff, you know what? It's time for you to get up and time for you to get your day started. 2 Chronicles 36:15 says it. It said, the Lord of the God, our ancestors, sent word to them through messengers. Listen, again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. Again and again, the Lord sent messengers to the people, telling the people, you need to repent, you need to do this, you need to do this. Today, as that alarm continued to buzz off and on and on and on in your life. Like I said, I don't know what the alarms are in your life. I don't know what your alarm sounds like. I know what mine sounds like, and it tells me to get up. But it said again and again, the Lord sent messengers. What? It said because he had pity on his people. He felt sorry for them. Why? Because he loved them today. Maybe the alarm is going off in your life today, and let me tell you what, God is going to let that alarm continue to go off. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He cares for you. He loves you more than what you can ever imagine. I know the love that I have for my kids is unreal, is unfathomable. I would do anything for them. And think, how much more does God love you? Is that alarm going off today? It said the first element of sudden awakening is what? It said realizing where you are. Realizing where you are. You got to realize where you are in your life. And let me tell you something about the old pig farm. I've worked on one. I know what it's like. This the prodigal son here, he was slopping the hogs. He was feeding the pig. It was a dirty, nasty job. There was a pig farm over by my house. You guys would all know if I said the name. I was 15 years old at the time, and I worked on that pig farm. I went over on Saturdays, and my job, guess what, was to clean them hog barns because they had just shipped out a load of pigs probably the Friday before, and it was my job to go over there and make sure that them things were just as clean as they could be. Let me tell you what, my mom would always take me, but guess what? My mom would never come and get me. She would not do it. My mom would not do it. She was willing to take me. Why? Because everything was fine. I smelt fine then. But when after I'd worked there 8 hours a day, and you're holding a pressure washer like this, and you're sitting there doing this all day, let me tell you what, you don't smell very good when you leave that place. It's awful. It's awful. I remember I had these old coveralls that I had to put on, and you know, and I had clothes underneath them. The same way when I milk cows. You know, when I milk cows, you always know when somebody comes from the dairy barn. I can tell you in 2 seconds. I know. I've smelt it many, many times in my life. But yeah, I had these old coveralls, and I would have to shed them, and I'd have to throw them in the back. And the guy that I worked for would always take me home because I just lived not a couple miles around the corner there. But guess what? When I got home, you think them clothes got put in with the other good clothes? Old mom made sure that them were separated out and made sure that them were washed, what? Separately, because they didn't smell good. Because there was something on them that, you know, that wasn't good. Because, you know, guess what? Like I said before, when I came home, everybody realized where old Jeff had been. Everybody knew where I had been. They realized where I came from. Where are you at today? Where are you at today? Are you the one that, like me, that come from the pig farm that didn't smell very good? I don't know. That's a question that you have to answer. It said, look what he said there. He said, how many of my father's men have food to spare? He was there and he was feeding the pigs and he was hungry. And he began to reflect back on how it used to be. He began to reflect back on what it used to be like when he was in his father's house, when everything was good. And he said, even they got food, even my father's servants, even them lonely people that go out and work the fields every day for my father still feeds them, but yet I have nothing. He remembered how well that he ate when he was at the Father's house. He remembered how good it used to be. You know, I'm 35 years old, but guess what? I still like to go home. I still like to go to my mom and dad's house. I go there quite frequently, matter of fact. They'd like to see my grandkids or they'd like to see my kids. And, you know, it's a time that I get to spend with my mom and dad. And I still enjoy going back there because my mom cooks a big meal and she does, you know, I'm like I said, you guys realize no matter how old your kids are, you still take care of them. You still take care. And that's what he began to think. My father took care of me. My father made sure that I had what I needed in the cupboard. He knew what I needed. But let me tell you what. When he was there in the pig pen and he was there feeding the hogs and he had that awakening, guess what? There was somebody on the flip side of that saying, you know what? You are no better in your father's house. You are no better where you are no better. And who is that person? But Satan himself. See, guys, on the flip side of everything in life, there's one person that's always going to be for you. That's God. And again, let me tell you what, there's always going to be one person against you, and that's the devil himself. He's always going to be against you no matter what you try to do, no matter how good you try to live, no matter how many times that you come to church and you try to do this and this and this, he is going to continue to try to ruin your life. And there's no doubt, I bet, oh, Satan, you know, I understand this is a parable, but if it wasn't, he would have been telling him, hey, you're no better than your father's house. You're fine just where you're at. Why don't you just stay right here and why don't you just wallow with the pigs because it's really okay. And guys, that's what Satan tries to tell us today. He tries to tell you, you know what, you're okay. There's everything, you know, look at you, you're successful. Look at you, you're doing what you need to do. You got a good job. You got a nice family. You got a nice home. You got a nice car. You've got all these nice things. And the Satan tries to tell you, you got it all. You don't need anything else. But we know, guys, that's nothing more than a lie himself. And it's a lie from Satan himself. Look at the story of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 16. They had been led out of slavery in Egypt, and they was on a journey. And slavery is bad. It was bad back in, you know, in the times of America, and it was even probably worse back in that time. But they were slaves. They were beat. They were whipped. I mean, you can imagine how bad it can be. I've actually, you know, I watched a movie I'd say it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago now, but it had the story of the children of Israel as they were beaten slaves. You know, and I got that mental picture in my head of what it was like. And they got let out. They got let out of captivity. They got let out of slavery. And guys, it wasn't just very long. Well, all of a sudden, what? They were dysfunctional. And guys, when I'm talking, you're talking about a nation here that Moses and them let them out. You're not talking about 3 or 4 people or 3 or 400 people. You're talking about a whole nation. There may be hundreds of thousands or millions. I mean, I don't know how big the nation of Israel was at this time, but it was big. It wasn't just a few people that were griping. This was a lot of people griping. And as they got let out, they got out into the wilderness and what they said, if we're hungry, we're starving to death, let's just go back to where we were at. Let's just go back. Why? Even though I was in slavery, I had something to eat. And think about that. How many, you know, that's what the prodigal son here was thinking. And that's what the children of Israel thought as well. It said the children of Israel, they had salvation of God. God had delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. But yet, a little bit of hunger made them want to go back. A little bit of hunger, a little bit of discomfort in their life, a little bit of just something wasn't quite right, and they want to go back to where they used to be. And guys, we find ourselves in our lives doing that so many times. So many times, you know, God takes us to a certain point. Maybe we really get on a roll in our life and we're going good and we're going good. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes and he puts a roadblock in front of us. And then all of a sudden, what do? We realize we want to go back. We want to go back because we think, you know what, it's just too hard. It's too hard for me to do. I can't take this. I can't face what I'm going through, God. So just let me go back to the way that I used to, the things that I used to do, and everything will be okay. When reality, things will not be okay. Once again, that's Satan doing what he wants to do. Number two, guys, we're about done. He said, you realize where you are. Realize where you, the first one, now you realize where you are. He said, the prodigal son, he said, I'm here and I'm starving to death. He said, I am hungry. You know, you guys here that's maybe grew up in the Depression, you understand what it's like to be really, really hungry. I don't know what it's like not to have food in the cupboards. You know, my worst thing is being hungry when my wife don't have some kind of snack crackers that I want in the cupboard. And I'm thinking, well, I'd really like to have something. I kind of like Cheez-Its. You know, I have something like that. Anybody here like Cheez-Its? Huh? We got one guy that likes Cheez-Its at least. You know, I think, well, I'm really hungry. Guys, I don't know what it's like to starve to death. Some of you here may know. I don't know, and I'm thankful today that I don't know what it's like, that I've never had to go hungry. But I want to talk about another hunger today, and it's your spiritual life. You know, you can tell I've not missed many physical meals. I'm fairly healthy. Some of you are saying, yeah, I am too, Jeff. I see a few people shaking their heads. I'm pretty healthy too. I'm pretty healthy. But what about your spiritual life? Where you stand with God, that's most important. You know, physical hunger, you can get over that. You can get over spiritual hunger as well. But you what? You need to be fed what? With the Word of God. That's how you get over the spiritual hunger in your life. So where's your walk today with Christ? Where is it at? Where's your prayer life? Where's your study? Where's your study time? Where's this and where's that and where's that? You know, guys, that's, I said, once again, that's not for me to realize or me to understand. That's between you and God Himself. But where are you at? That's something that you have to look upon your own life and say, yeah, Jeff, I'm doing what I need to do. And I hope everybody can say, I'm doing what I need to do with God. Because if you are, you're probably way better off than what I am. But think about it. It said one of Satan's tools that he uses, that he says, what? Things really aren't that bad. Things really aren't that bad. That's what he was telling here. That's what he tells you in your life. Things are really not that bad. And here's what happens. And I'm the world's worst about this. I begin to justify things in my own mind. I begin to justify. If I want, my wife can tell you, if I want something, I'm going to somehow justify it in my own mind where I can go buy it. You know? If I see something that I really, really want, and I can think, boy, I really, really need that. I mess with them crazy dogs all the time, and there's always some kind of new gadget coming out, and guess what? If it's the latest gadget, I'm going to be searching through a magazine, I'm going to be searching through the book, in some way I'll find myself justified to go buy that, because for whatever reason, we begin to justify how things should work in our own mind. And I believe that's what the prodigal son did here. He began to justify in his own mind at the beginning, saying, you know what, I'm tired of living this way. Just give me my inheritance. Let me get out of here. Let me go do my own thing. Let me do what I want to do. And he began to justify it in his own mind of how things should be. He began to live in a fairy tale world of how he wanted it to go and how he wanted it to be. But we know that it didn't end up being like that. Listen to this. If you don't get anything that I have said this morning, if you have tuned me out, that's fine. I don't care. But if you have not listened, I want you to hear five words that I'm fixing to tell you, and I wrote them down so you will get this today. Five words. I want you to understand. I want you to repeat it often. God's will for your life. What is God's will for your life? What did the prodigal son say? What was God's will for his life or this story? What is God's will for your life? I believe that's something we should repeat very, very often. God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me, where do you want me to be? Because I trust me, what God's will for your life is not the will for my life. What God's will, what God wants you to do in your life is not going to be the same that He wants me to do. But think about that. And the last thing, I said, you realize where you could be, where you could be. And that's where He came to. He had that awakening in His life, and He realized, this is where I could be. I could go back. I had everything that I needed there at home. I had food. I had servants. I had this. I lived in a really nice house and did this. You can go on and on and on. But realize where you could be. Let me tell you guys today, when God wakes you up and you're in a distant country, He does not intend to leave you there. When God wakes you up and you're somewhere where you don't need to be, He don't intend to wake you up and let you wallow around there for a while. When He wakes you up, He wants you to get back to the Father's house. That's what His intention is, to wake you up.